Welcome to the Bloody Mary podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy. And we are totally married.
Yeah.
We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight is our 50th episode.
50 episodes. Woo! Holy ball sacks.
And for our 50th episode, we are talking about and reviewing 50 States of Fright.
50 States of Fright. Yeah, we, you know what? We're going to do a merch plug before we get into talking about it.
Yeah, we are.
In case we forget, because I think last episode we totally forgot.
We totally did. So, we have merch, guys.
We do. We have merch. We also have an Amazon wish list of some cool stuff you could get us. Small things like Bloody Mary mixes, stuff like more of these horror tiki mugs, more expensive things like gear and shit.
Yes.
Really helps the podcast. And if you get us anything, we'll plug you. We'll plug whatever we want from you,
yeah.
Like your business or your bar mitzvah or whatever. Your logging company.
Your traveling taxidermy show. Whatever you want to talk about. Yeah.
So www.bloodymarypodcast.com. Go there. Check it out.
Check it out. Thanks for supporting us.
Yeah. So.
Let's talk about this being our 50th episode.
Yeah. We've done 50 of these bad bitches.
Holy shit.
And I think like along the way, we've got like 5 more viewers.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We're still waiting to break out. I think 100 episodes is going to be a mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to have shit ton of viewers. We're going to get sponsored by like Blumhouse is going to sponsor us.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
they're just
going to
fly us guests here to our basement.
50 more to go, guys.
Yeah.
Only 50 more to go.
For sure.
But we do appreciate the people who do listen.
Yes.
And comment.
But I do think, actually, we do have a few listeners. I think we have a handful, you know?
Which
more
is
than
pretty,
a handful.
Which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So, in our 50-episode run, what is your favorite episode, or some of your favorite episodes that we've done?
You know, my favorite ones that we do are the big franchise rundowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like doing the Friday the 13th one, the Halloween one, the Nightmare on Elm Street one was fun, but probably like the Friday the 13th and Halloween ones, because that was like my favorite horror franchise, your favorite horror mm-hmm. franchise. And I think we did those when we like were kind of starting.
Yeah.
I think down the road we revisit that. I think it would be fun to do again. And, you know, we haven't done many of those lately. I know we have one coming up. Spoiler, we have a Rob Zombie, what?
Rob.
All of his films, yeah. ranked and
reviewed. All the Rob Zombie films.
But we do need to pick another franchise, because those are my favorite ones that we do.
I agree. I really enjoy doing those. And so if you have any ideas of what series we should do next, drop us a line.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot we haven't done yet. So the ones we've done Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Saw.
Texas Chainsaw. Yeah.
That was fun.
That was
so
fun.
We've only done, no, and then we've done Final Destination with Jeremy.
We did. We did all the Screams.
No, we haven't.
Yes, I mean, technically we kind of did when we...
We just talk about them all the time, but we
that's true.
We haven't sat down and done an official...
Ranked them in the official capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So we still have stuff like what? Smaller franchises,
Howling.
Longer ones. We have The Howling, which is on our list. There's the Hellraiser franchise. If you guys have any suggestions, which franchise for us to do next, let us know.
Yeah.
But for our 50th episode, I know we tossed around a few ideas of what to do. We're like, let's do something that has to do with 50. So we were, one was like a silly movie, like Attack of the 50-Foot Piranha, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Another thing on the table was like 50 Shades of Horror, where we were going to do like our favorite sex scenes in horror. I thought that was fun. What was another one? But I can't remember, but we landed on
50 States of Fright.
50 States of Fright. And I didn't know this existed until I started searching like 50 horror movie things. And it popped up. And it's because it was a Quibi original, which Quibi is a very short-lived
streaming
service that was around for, it's like a year. And it came out around COVID and just flopped. And then so Roku, I think, took all of their original content or most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So Roku took 50 States of Fright and put it over there. And then since then, no one's heard anything since if they're making more. But yeah.
I think they should, because it was fun. And I want to, like, we got, like, there's only 9 episodes, so nine states, so we need to.
Yeah, so if you don't know, 50 States of Fright, it's an anthology of short films, and each film is a state. So it's like here it says, series original explores stories based on urban legends from different places in the United States, taking viewers deeper into the horrors that lurk just beneath the surface. And we have 9 states done, so there's how many are in the fucking country? Oh my God.
50 states? 50.
It's a 50-ish.
I can sing the song where it does all the states really quickly.
I don't want you to do that. So we have like 40-something states left. And I'm sure that if like it really picked up, they'd just go to another country.
Yeah. Math is hard, people.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're just going to jump in and we're going to talk about each one as they go. And spoilers.
So many spoilers, guys. We're not going to
hold back on this. So if you haven't seen 50 States of Fright,
pause the video right now, run and go watch it and come back.
Or if you don't care and just want to listen to us talk about it, then come right ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about them and kind of chat about which ones are our favorite and least favorite and go from there. But I want to say that I really liked this series.
I did too. Like, I really enjoyed
it. I liked this more than The Cabinet of Curiosities.
I did too.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. So there's so many names in this, the camera and in front of the camera. So for directors, the one that stands out, obviously, is Sam Raimi, director of all the Evil Deads.
Right.
He directed the first one. There's Lee Cronin as a director, who is the director of the new Evil Dead. And some stars, Christina Ricci, Rachel Brosnahan, Tessa Farmiga, Travis Fimmel from Vikings, Karen Allen, and a whole bunch. There's a Culkin kid.
Rory Culkin.
Yeah. And the writers of Quiet Place directed one. Just so many names, so many faces.
Right, which I liked, because I know, like, in The Cabinet of Curiosity, there was some, like, I kind of know him. But these are like, oh, shit, that person's in this. Like,
this really reminded me of Tales from the Crypt. I think more than any horror anthology I've seen, this one really had Tales from the Crypt vibes, where there were stars that did these, like, you know, how fucking Schwarzenegger directed one, Tales from the Crypt, and you had stars at the time, Andrew McCarthy was in one of them, Demi Moore was in one.
Right.
So it had that vibe of, like, I like that, you know, big name, because Rachel Brosnahan, she's getting bigger now.
Yeah.
Well, she's in the new Superman, she's Lois Lane, she's going to be.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that. Yep. I remember now.
But anyways, let's jump into this. So the first one is called The Golden Arm, and that takes place in Michigan, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Rachel Brosnahan and Travis Fimmel. It's about two lovebirds, one awful accident. Heather offers Dave a helping hand. Too bad she may never see that hand again. What did you think of this one?
I really enjoyed this one.
Me too. They started off with a bang.
They really did.
Sam Raimi style of directing. The scene where... So it's a couple that lives out in the country, and he's like a logger, a craftsman, and she's the prettiest girl in town.
Yeah.
And she's all about her beauty. That's what she lives for. That's what she's...
That's what she's known for in this town. And her husband loves her and will do anything for her.
They love each other. But he makes her like help with like cutting down a tree, and the tree falls and it...
takes her hand off.
Yeah, it lands on her arm and he cuts it off.
Oh, that's right, because it's basically crushed and trapped. Yeah. And he was like, I gotta cut it off.
And I gotta tell you, her scream is a great scream queen. Screaming queen? What's the word? She's a great
scream queen.
Yes, there we go. And I was like, she should scream in horror films more often, because she has some lungs on her.
She does, yeah.
And when she was screaming down there, I actually felt it.
Mm-hmm.
She sold that.
She did.
Yeah.
And it was gruesome. Like, just chop off, yeah. And then, she was like, I got depressed, because obviously the most beautiful girl in the world, or in the town, now has no arm, and kids and people are laughing at her.
Everyone's making fun of her, and so she goes to her husband and is like, make me a golden arm.
I have to say, he's clearly very intelligent, because he, like...
he made, like, a prosthetic robotic golden arm.
Yeah. Like, is he a lumberjack?
Suspension of disbelief.
Check. Like, that man can do everything.
Yeah.
Also, he has pretty blue eyes.
Yeah, and he... I feel like he's an actor that, he, like Nicolas Cage, he just plays himself no matter what the fuck he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when he... when he yelped, when she was dead and then her eyes opened,
yeah.
And he yelped, I laughed so, like, that was the perfect, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so what happens, like, she...
Gets gold poisoning.
She dies, and her one wish is to stay buried with the arm. Well, his farm goes under, and he has no choice but to go dig up the arm to probably sell it, and then, what you think, her corpse comes, like, after him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really cool scene at the end where she comes out of the doorway
mm-hmm.
and slits his throat with
that
the axe.
That was badass. Dope throat slit.
Yeah.
that was my note.
Well directed. Sam Raimi directed. Yeah, this one's one of my favorites. I don't have anything like bad to say about this.
No, I really enjoyed him being scared too. Like he was just like under the blanket, just like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, that
like,
part was kind of weird. Like if you're getting, like, he's a grown man getting thinks that, and he's hiding under the sheets in his bed. I mean,
but he did it like it wasn't like it was silly, but also like he's so scared that he's just like, oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I guess one thing we forgot to mention about these is they're about 15 to 20 minutes long each, and it's interesting watching these on Roku and it was on Quibi too, that they're split up into like three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like 5 minutes and 7 minutes and then like 7 minutes. I don't know why they did that, if they just more room for commercial breaks maybe to sell stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought that was an odd format, but it kind of works because I think they knew that filming it, because they do leave it on cliffhangers each cut.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Maybe that was a Quibi thing, and
yeah,
then to keep it, because they do cut it, had to be.
Yeah. So moving on, the next one, number two, Ball of Twine, takes place in Kansas, directed by Yoko Okamura. Sorry, I'm butchering names. Starring Ming-Nan Wen and Karen Allen. And the star of this, she's in Mulan, she's in...
Oh, she's in a lot of stuff.
Fucking The Mandalorian. I think she was in some Marvel thing, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Karen Allen's in everything. Indiana Jones, older actress. Mm-hmm. She was Buddy Sean, who just shot something with her, was on set.
Yeah.
And she signed my VHS tape of Starman.
That's right.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having her do that. That was cool. So this one's about a mother and daughter stop to see the world's largest ball of twine. It may sound boring, but it really draws the daughter in. What did you think of Ball of Twine?
It was okay.
You know, that's the first thing I have written down. It says, this was okay.
It was okay. It wasn't one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I thought that the twine stuff, when they were like, she was pulling it out of her body, that was gross.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was just the ball of twine absorbed the person, or it was the kids, and the ghost kids wanted more kids.
Yeah, it was okay. It was fun and quick, sad ending.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big ball of twine, and the daughter goes to it, and she gets sucked in by like ghost kids that are twine kids and twine people, and then like all the townsfolk are twine people.
Yeah.
Like the cops are in on it, and like she's fighting the cops with an axe, and they like, she cuts like their arms, and there's
twine
like
twine inside,
and they're made of twine instead of blood. It's like cultish.
Yeah.
But there wasn't really too much to it. Like, her daughter goes in there, she realizes the town is weird, she goes back to the ball to try and get her,
and then she goes into the ball.
She goes
to
into
get
the
her.
Ball and just, I thought she just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
She fought okay for a little bit, found her daughter, and then just held her and then let the ball of twine embrace them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this one was another one. So I think the first four have narrators, which I think is interesting, and like the rest don't.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of these have narrators. The first four have, like the first one, it was some guy that's not involved in it narrating, talking about his neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was narrated by Karen Allen,
mm-hmm,
talking about this event that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she was the sheriff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Yeah, it was okay. It was like middle or lower middle for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving on. Number three, Scared Stiff, Oregon, directed by Ryan Spindel, who also directed Mortuary Collection, which I really like.
I like that
you
one.
Really like.
Yeah.
Sebastian Kempierre was a taxidermy legend, but after accepting a job for a strange animal, his greatest masterpiece may just be his greatest mistake.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I forgot to mention, too, about these is we didn't watch any of these together.
No, we didn't.
We watched them all separately, and we haven't talked
I know, we haven't about, talked about them at all.
You know, which ones we like and don't like. I really like this one. I like the production on this. I thought it was really great. I'm impressed with the set design, where his taxidermy place. I was impressed with the snow on the outside. I was impressed with the Bigfoot creature design because it was all real and all practical. Someone was in a Bigfoot suit.
Yeah.
So I liked all the production value for this. And speaking about production value, kind of across this whole series, I think the production value
all across the board
had a really good tone. It seemed like they gave everyone enough money and resources to do what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What'd you think of this one?
Well, you know, I love a good taxidermy stuff.
You like a good stuffing. Yes,
yeah.
I know that. Dad jokes.
This one I really did like, and it made me, first of all, I love a good head pop, and there was a great head pop in this.
Yeah.
So that gave it some good points.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad for the Bigfoot, because the Bigfoot's like trying to find her baby. It's her baby.
Yeah, a guy comes into a taxidermy Bigfoot with like roadkill and says, hey, can you like fix this and turn this into something? And then he agrees to do it, and then you don't know what it is, and he puts it together, and it turns out it's a baby Bigfoot.
It's a baby Bigfoot.
And then Mama comes out the door looking for it.
Right. And then she's like going through the innards her baby. And that was so sad. I felt so bad for her. And I'd pop his head too if he gutted my baby. Well, and then he like makes her and he's like, no, your baby's right here. And then she's like, oh. And then the eyeball pops out and he was like, liar, bamboozled.
Yeah. Like, well, he made the dumbest mistake ever. He was fine hiding back there.
Yeah.
And then he came out like, look at what I made for you.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he turns out he gets taxidermied. Oh, yeah. This one is also narrated by his arch nemesis, played by, I don't know the actress's name, but she plays Stevie in Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. And he's like, she's the worst. Being taxidermied by her is the fate worse than death. Well, and now he's taxidermied by her.
Yeah. I feel like this one was pretty quick, too.
I feel like he deserved. Gotta say.
Yeah. You think he deserved it?
Yeah.
I don't think so. He didn't do anything wrong. He, like, taxidermied and made, like, the roadkill as good as he could. And he's actually really nice. And then he saw that the Bigfoot was sad and wanted to do whatever he could to try and make her feel better, which was give her the baby Bigfoot.
Yeah, but it was a shell. It's just the skin of her child. Here is the skin of your child, and there is his guts. If you just take him, you can have both of them at the same
viewpoint.
Time.
I get it, yeah.
Like, I get his motivation, but also, like, did you really think that would work?
Yeah. This one was pretty good, too. This was...
This was
up there for me.
In my top five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Again, the head pop.
Gotta love a good kill.
I do.
Number four, the fourth one, Gray Cloud Island, Minnesota. Home state.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Brian Netto and Adam Schindler. Sorry if I messed up your name. Four pledges are ready to find out if they're Kappa material, but this initiation ritual is about to get way darker than they expected. What'd you think of this?
This one was my favorite.
It was my favorite too. God damn it. We should get a drink or something. How about we go out for Bloody Marys one day?
Yeah, we have a lot in common, don't you think?
Like, out of all these, if like I directed one, this would be the one I made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
It was really good. There's a kid in there. He's in sex education.
Asa? Is it Asa?
Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Hugo. He was a little kid in Hugo. It's a bunch of kids. There's like a local lore of a haunted woods and...
an island.
Their initiation is they have to like make it across the island back to the truck.
Yeah, it was like run, hide, cap it till you die.
Yeah.
With little frat dicks.
And they come across a barn with like a woman in there who has a head cage on. And she's about to get sacrificed in some ritual thing, and they save her. It's a fun journey.
It is.
There's good kills.
There is
like
great kills.
The first kill is really good, where one of the kids gets a knife straight to the head.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fun. I liked the reveal, and it was predictable, but it was fun to go to the farmhouse for help.
I know.
There's like this old grandma.
In my notes, I was like, do not ever trust an unassuming farmhouse in the middle of nowhere at night.
Yeah. And then this old grandma like,
never.
Oh, I'll help you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And then she kills one kid. Then she takes like off her coat, and grandma's tatted.
Yeah.
Like she's got a sleeveless.
She's like the matriarch of like this clan.
So it turns out it's like this clan, this lineage of people who are protectors of, there's this huge gigantic hole out in the woods where creatures of all kinds come out of every now and
it's
then.
It's the pit of hell.
The pit of hell. And they're protectors of it. But also, if they're protectors of it, why are they just going around killing innocent people and liking it?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Sure, they're protectors, but I feel like you have to have a certain level of violence in you to handle those things. And they're like taking off, and then they're like, oh my God. And then it's like the Asa kid and then her, and he's like, no, they're in the back of a truck, like, no, we got you. Oh my God, you're safe. And he takes off
the thing.
They
take off her mask that's been, you know.
She's a monster.
Yeah, of course.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
And kills him.
And her monster design was cool.
It was.
This one is also narrated by the guy who was driving the truck who picked him up at the end, like the survivor. He was, you know, telling the cops. He's like, I don't know what happened. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was bunch of kids that just get into some backwoods mythical shit with like creatures and witches and killer people.
Which, I mean, if you come across a barn and some lady's tied up and
you should probably,
you do think virgin sacrifice. I don't know anyone else.
Yeah, you think virgin sacrifice for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
But also, you got to be a little wary, like, who's trying to sacrifice her? You got to know your stuff. Like,
Yeah, this one was my favorite. I liked it. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
You said, like, this would be one I'd make.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And it's your favorite, too. So going on to number five, which is the last. So this is the last one of season one. So when it was on Quibi, it was season one and season two. But I believe when it's on Roku, it's just 50 States of Fright. There's no seasons. So technically, this is the last one of the first season. This is number five, called Destino. This takes place in Florida, directed by Alejandro Brugis. Miami police respond to an odd call about a stolen goat. Their body cams and video surveillance reveal what happens when they arrive at the scene. What'd you think of this?
I really like this one.
You really like this one? All right.
I like
finally.
You don't like it?
We disagree. Yeah.
I liked the voodoo witchy shit. I liked the when they get down in their tunnels and like that stuff is really cool.
There was
I really
some cool imagery.
That. And creepy.
Yeah. So it's like four cops. They get a call to go to a shady part of town. They go there. There's weird ghost stuff. They get inside and it's an abandoned house. People go missing. People die. It's creepy and there ghost shit's happening. There's possession. And then it's a descent into hell movie. And then they go deeper into the house. And then you go into these weird pits of voodoo and magic. And at the very end, there's like the tentacle queen.
Mm-hmm.
It was all shot on like, or made to look like found footage. It was all police cam and security cam.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It wasn't my favorite. It was, it's not in the middle either. It's, you know, probably the lower ones.
Oh, it's in my top five.
Ones for me. Yeah, no, it didn't grab me. I thought the tentacles were digitally stupid. I did like that there was a head at the end of it and it like fed her. Is that? Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get it. And the whole time I was thinking, like, so three cops just go missing because at the end she was possessed by the ultimate one.
Yeah.
The place is going to get found out. You can't have three cops go missing and no one's going to say anything.
This is true.
They're going to send more. And then if they go, they'll send more. And then they'll send in SWAT. And
yeah,
then,
but it's voodoo witch shit. You don't know what happens.
And then.
You don't know.
It's just, you know, it's eventually going to die down there or whatever.
Voodoo witch it. You don't know.
So they'll send in.
You don't know?
Yeah. I guess I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, it's not one of my favorites. But whatever. whatever. Good first season, I think, overall, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed it a lot. And I really, I really like that they're just short films and they're just the urban legends, and the quality is pretty, you know, they get a good budget. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it inspired me to, like, I wrote down some ideas for future film stuff and scripting things. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, I like some of them were simple tales. Like, the first one, like, The Golden Arm was really simple. It was about two people. She's pretty. He loses her arm. He wants it back. She comes back for him. It's a simple formula. It's just how you make it.
Right.
Anyways, going on. Number six, the start of season two. Almost There, Iowa, directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, who wrote A Quiet Place. Hannah has a past life, a past trauma, and a terrible fear of heights. Now, one late night call brings her back to where it all began. What did you think of Almost There?
That's fucked up. The mom fucked up.
It's fucked up?
I mean, it was good. Yeah, the beginning. But like,
yeah.
It's fucked up.
It was, because it starts with like a...
An Amish
family, and then this woman takes her three kids to a bridge and says, no, it's okay, jump, and puts like ropes around their necks.
She fucking puts nooses around their necks.
And makes them jump.
Makes them fucking jump, and a train is coming.
Yeah.
A fucking train is coming.
So, and then she does it to herself, and then your lead doesn't jump, or she does, and she gets free.
She gets free, and she gets free at the last minute and rolls before the train crushes her.
And then it cuts to her as an adult, a young adult, and it's Vera Farmiga's child. I forget her
sister.
First name.
It's her sister.
Is it?
It's a Farmiga sister.
Gotcha. She's really good. I really like this one. This one's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, this one's in my top five.
Yeah, I really like it. It's tense. The whole thing, I think the set piece is really interesting. It takes place in a wind turbine that's malfunctioning. And it's her and then this other actor, I forget his name, but he's really good too. So she's scared of heights, and it has to do with, you know, all of her past trauma. And so it's her job to climb this turbine with this guy, and she's never done this before, and to go up to the top and to fix the computer system because it's malfunctioning. And I really liked him because he was such a positive guy.
He was
really supportive. He's like, you got this, let's go. Even when he falls and like breaks his arm, he's like, no, you keep going, you got it. And I thought it was really cute at the end how she got him a Red Bull from up there and gave it to him. Because all he wanted through the whole thing was, bring me a Red Bull when you get here. And she brought him like generic energy drinks. Yeah. And he's like, ah, I guess this will do. And at the end, she gets him a Red Bull. It was cute.
It was cute.
It was a story about her facing her fears and facing her past trauma.
Well, then she tries, then what? Then she goes to drive across the bridge that her mother hung her, all of them, from.
Yeah, yeah.
And then her mom shows up again, and then she drives off the bridge?
No, the ending was my only complaint. So through this whole thing, while she's climbing the turbine, like, it'll go black. They filmed this really well.
They did.
Like, she's climbing it, and she thinks she sees the train coming. And then she's like, ah! The train from when she was a kid, but it turns out it was a light falling.
Right.
So they did a lot of really cool plays with imagery, and then like the ghost of her mom shows up and tries
Which
to scare
creepy.
Her off.
Yeah.
So it was that play between is the ghost actually there, or is this all just in her head? Is it psychological? And then at the end, she has to, you know, saves the day, blah, 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 going home, driving home, and she decides to actually take the bridge because she avoids that bridge. And then the ghost mom pops up in the car and almost crashes. But then she gets a cord around the ghost mom's neck and flings her over.
Mom,
and this is the only thing I don't like about it. And then a train comes and it hits the ghost mom and she splatters with blood.
Right.
Signifying that it's an actual real thing. So the ending was weird. They could have just like cut right when the train was about to hit.
Right.
Or have the train go through and no one's hanging there.
Right.
But the fact that it showed it splattered blood was like, okay, so it's a fucking actual live thing? That was weird.
That was haunting her. It was her mother fucking haunting her.
But it wasn't haunting her if it actually hit the train and blood, it's a physical thing.
Well, what if it was like, because when they got hit by the train before, you didn't see any of it. So maybe that was just like the visual, like, of this is what happened to her when she was fucking hung.
Yeah. Oh. It was good, though.
And this time her daughter pushed her over instead of the mother wrapping the noose around her neck and pushing her over.
It was really clever. It came together well. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, good performances by the two leads. Number seven, the state we live in, Washington.
Where I'm from, Washington.
Yeah, where you're from, the state we reside, 13 Steps to Hell, which, that title, I've heard that story, directed by Lee Cronin, who directed The New Evil Dead. And this one is when Malory and her brothers go to the town cemetery to bury their pet, they dig up something much darker than dirt. This has a Culkin kid narrating it. It
has Rory.
Yeah. What did you think of 13 Steps to Hell?
It was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. My thing is, you know, Washington, I'm a little disappointed.
I was too. I was like, Minnesota was great.
Yeah.
God damn it, Washington.
Washington can do better. It's a middle-of-the-road one for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty boring, but I did like the twist. So it's like, I'm even trying to remember the plot. Like, these kids are fucking around in a graveyard.
In a graveyard. They're going to bury the dog or the animal or whatever. Because the littlest boy is like, no, we have to bury it. Their mom died of cancer. And they uncovered like a there are stairways to hell.
13 steps, and then they go down there, and they're not supposed to.
Well, the little boy's toy, the last thing his mother gave him, rolled down and
there,
the daughter went down. The sister was like, fine. She was like, can we just go? Like, this is stupid.
It's a bunch of kids. Yep.
So she goes down, the walls are breathing, like, and then you see your biggest fear.
And then when you get down there, you get transported, you see a big fear, and then this guy shows up and helps him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just didn't see the twist of that was a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that twist. And then he helps him. He pulls him out. But then it's revealed that the boy went back down.
Yeah.
And he's the one who got it worst.
Yeah, and then he's the one narrating it. And he just tells the story over and over again
and
repeatedly.
Yeah, that twist I thought was really fun, too. It's Culkin narrating it. He's telling it to the toy he found. And he just repeats the narration over and over again.
And they're like, hey, buddy, it's time for dinner.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so there are these three kids. Yeah. And then he just tells the story again, but Aiden got it worse.
Yeah.
Dare I say, Rory is probably my favorite Culkin.
I get him confused. I like the Culkin who's in Succession.
Oh, whose name is totally...
Kieran.
Yeah,
I like
one.
Him. I like them all.
They're all very talented.
I grew up with Macaulay.
Yeah.
And,
same.
I like both the other ones. I think Kieran is doing really good stuff, and the other one does a lot of cool indie stuff. I think he was in that. I forget what it was called, but he did the one with the Swedish metal band.
Dog.
Lords of Metal.
Yeah.
That was really dark and really fucked up.
He's in Scream 4.
Yes. Yeah.
He does more indie, darker things, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I like him more.
But the only thing I liked about these were the twists.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the story. Kind of like middle of the road for me.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was hoping Washington would come in with something better.
I know.
And that was me.
I know, because like my thing is like I didn't know they did Washington yet. I'm like, oh, if they make more seasons, let me do Washington. I would have done something better than this. But then again, he did that, which led him to like Sam Raimi was like, yeah, we'll give you Evil Dead. So,
right.
What do you do? Moving on. I think, is it number 8 already?
Yeah.
Yeah, number 8. Red Rum, Colorado, directed by Daniel Goldhaber, starring Christina Ricci and the chunky kid from Spider-Man, the new Spider-Mans.
Yes.
Okay, this one was not good.
This is my least favorite. I didn't care about any of those Instagram tool bag characters.
This one sucked, and it's terrible. I mean, it's disappointing because Christina Ricci's in it. I love her.
And it's the Shining Hotel. It's fucking Red Rum. Like, there should be something better than what we got.
It was like it's a young kids vacationioning in Shining-themed hotel or the Shining Hotel?
It's a Shining Hotel. And
it's like...
They're Instagram influencers, and they're there to live stream shit.
And they're not
supposed
to.
Because they're haunted. Because it's supposed to be one of the most haunted places. And so they're live streaming because they're supposed to be haunted. And so they go in places they're not supposed to and do things they're specifically told not to.
Yeah.
And they're little tool bags. Also, they could get followers and people to like them. And that's stupid.
Yeah.
And I did not like this one at all.
Yeah. Even without like the social media stuff, I think it was just really bad. It wasn't scary. It was really weird. They had this odd choice for a ghost that was like a cowboy taking pictures of people. It was really bad. Like, I can't even remember how it ended, but I remember, like,
they
this,
all died.
I remember this is the end. Because then it comes back. There were a news crew was in there at the very end reporting on people going missing in the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Instagram influencers disappeared.
Yeah, it was bad. This is another thing, too, like, kind of like how in the other one, all these cops go away. Eventually, there's going to be more cops will show up. Well, if people keep going here and vanishing, someone's going to find out, and they're just going to...
Yeah, but if they're ghosts and people don't believe in ghosts and you can't see them, and the ghosts are the ones that kill them...
And they keep vanishing. More people keep vanishing. And
they can't actually prove that there's not... there. They can't actually... There's no proof.
Then you launch the nukes at the hotel.
Burn it down to the ground.
Yeah, it was really boring. So I was watching this. I'm like, yeah. Man, this has got to be the worst one. Until number 9, Dogwood/Azalea in Missouri, directed by Kate Devaney. I watched this. I was like, oh, this is bad. I did not like this one. This is my least favorite. Red Rum is my second least favorite. What did you think of Dogwood/Azalea?
I also didn't like it.
Yeah.
It had the mom from Twilight in it. I would say the Colorado and this one are kind of tied for me. I really didn't like them. And it was boring. And then, like, there was only, like, at the very end where they get impaled, the parents.
That was the only cool part.
That was the only cool part.
Yeah. So it was boring.
I just sit through everything else, and then I had then that at the very end, and then it was just like, well, and the little girl's there.
Yeah.
Da, da, da.
This and like I didn't even put down a fucking summary of this one, but it's like a family goes to a house, a mother, a father, and a daughter, and the daughter connects with a little ghost there, and then ends up being the little ghost's best friend, and the ghost kills the parents.
So the girl could, and then kills the girl because the girl dies.
The girl.
And the girl, so then they could be their best friends forever.
Yeah. This really reminded me of just a lame, low budget YouTube horror short idea, and then someone gave that idea some money.
Yeah. I was disappointed because it started off with a bang. And I would hope that it would end with a bang, right?
I don't think. How did it start with a bang?
No, not this one, but like the series. Like,
oh, yeah.
It opened with a really great one.
Yeah.
And then you would think it's the end of a season, so you get your other good ones. You usually bookend it to where.
Yeah, I mean, if you were the programmer, I would have put these two in the middle, and I would have. Let's see. What do we got here? I'm going to pretend I'm in charge of programming season. So I would have probably started with Almost There. I think that's a good one. And then I would have went to Red Rum, Dogwood/Azalea, and then I would have closed it out with 13 Steps.
Yeah.
That's how I would have done this bitch. But yeah, no, it was kind of a disappointing end to watching 50 States of Fright.
It was. It made me want more. I'm like, yeah. There's so much more. Like, what about the others? So I really hope that they maybe revive that and do something with it.
I think the best, like you said, the best part of that, the last one we got was the parents dying at the end. It was pretty cool. I'll give them that. I'll give them that whole scene was really well done. The kills are pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the story was just boring as shit.
It was.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the series as a whole? What would you rate it out of 10 Bloody Marys?
Out of 10 Bloody Marys? Let's see. I would say a 6.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 7. I liked it. The negative stuff doesn't bring it all down for me. Like, there's really only two really bad ones, which is Red Rum and Dogwood/Azalea. The other ones are fine, and there's some really good ones in here.
There is some really good ones.
The Sam Raimi directed one, the one in Minnesota, the taxidermy one. I think those three are my no. Okay. Here's my top three. My favorite is Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
My second favorite is the first one, Golden Arm. And my third favorite is Iowa, the going up the wind turbine. What are your three favorites?
Minnesota, Michigan, and Florida.
Michigan, which one's that?
The first one.
Okay. So you liked the Florida one, the one I didn't like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I liked the Florida one.
Yeah.
And then Iowa and Oregon. Those are my top five, really.
Gotcha. Yeah, my least favorite, Dogwood Azalea Red Rum, and then probably the Florida one, the witchcraft.
Voodoo witchy
the voodoo,
shit.
The voodoo stuff, yeah.
Voodoo
yeah.
witch shit.
Yep, oh my God, that Bloody Mary's kicking in. have you guys seen 50 States of Fright? What'd you think of the series?
Yeah, let us know. Tell us.
Yeah, I mean, if you have seen 50 States of Fright, did you have the Quibi app and did you watch it on Quibi? Because that would be really funny.
That would be. Yeah. And then also tell us which one was your favorite.
Yeah. And if you think they should bring it back, I think they should. I think this is a series that... Man, it's too bad that Roku got it. Like, if Netflix would have got it with the intention of doing more, I think that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Roku is doing good. They have money. Fucking make some more. Halloween's right around the corner. Surprise us with some.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, give us, like, four more states.
Yeah, four more.
Just give us four more states.
Yeah. What states do you want to see? I don't know.
Mm.
Hawaii would be interesting. That's
Hawaii
a fun setting.
Hawaii would be interesting. New York.
California.
California.
Those are like the obvious ones.
Some Texas, maybe.
Get a good like.
Ooh, Utah. I wonder what's in
Deepwood, Alabama.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I want to know more. Like it leaves me wanting more.
Yeah.
So I think that I mean I did enjoy most of those, but I just like that's it. And there's 50 states of fright, but we only got 9 states, goddammit.
Roku, get a hold of me. I'll get this back. I'll get this back on track for you guys.
Yeah.
I'll get you a bunch of directors. I know a bunch of people. We can pump out 4 to 5 states. We can get that done in a few months for you.
Yeah.
We just need the funding. Come on, Roku.
We just need the money, guys.
You know, www.jjhproductions.com. Just go ahead and shoot me an email. All right, thank you. Well, anyways... our 50th episode.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean,
we
do this because we like to do it. We have fun doing it together.
We do.
It's fun having guests on. And even if like only a couple people listen to it, I don't care. This is just a fun thing for us to do.
It is a fun thing. I enjoy doing this with you. That's why we started it.
Yeah.
So we can do it together.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Aw, I love you.
Yeah, I love you too. cool. Well... That's about it.
All right. Our Bloody Marys are dead.
Yeah, so are we.
So are we.
Happy 50th.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.